Hello and welcome to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're four season ticket holders at Ashton Gate who love the club, the game and all things Bears. In this week's show, we talk about the next game away at Sale with our friends from the Shark Tank podcast. We give our thoughts on the match and who may play at the AJ Bell Stadium. Also, with the European finals this weekend, we take a look ahead to next season's Champions Cup. With the top eight in the league qualifying for next season's competition, we ask, is this good for the game? I'm Tony, and I'm joined by Miles and Pete for a cheeky beer and some rugby banter. Well, gentlemen, nice to speak to you both tonight. Unfortunately, Lee couldn't make it. Let me come to you first, Miles. After Monday night, have you recovered? Has it all sunk in yet?
Well, absolutely, yeah. I'm sad I missed a podcast, and actually the pasty stain's come out of my jeans since then. and actually, there was some good chat at work this week. I loved it. I mean, a few colleagues at work went, and we just commented at how loud the ground was, and they absolutely loved it too. Yeah, I think calm down by this weekend, and actually that sort of spurred us on for the sort of hope of the Irish game at the end of the season to be just as good.
And Pete, how about you? Because were you on the scrum with Jeff on were you a Monday night and Tuesday as well?
I was on three times in 2 days. So they were obviously desperate. people kept turning their phones off. I did get a bit of a warning that I'd be on Monday to kind of talk about what it was going to be like going to the game, and then back on again on Tuesday to give my reflections on what the night was like. Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, it's always great to chat with him. He's very easy to chat to. I had a quick listen back. I didn't sound too stupid. I was actually feeling quite tired when I went on because it was a relatively late night on that Monday, and I didn't really catch up for a bit. But yeah, really nice, and really nice to be supported by Jeff as usual.
And that's Jeff Twentyman, BBC Radio Bristol, a big supporter of the podcast. And of course, Lee also had a nice article in the Bristol Post giving his view on what it was like to be back at the stadium. So I think that went down very well as well. So there we are. But that was last Monday. It's our usual recording on Sunday evening. And this show, we're going to look ahead to the next game, which is Friday the 28th of May, 7:45 p.m. kickoff, where it's Sale versus Bristol, so top versus third. And before we talk about the game, let's catch up with Pete's Premiership preview, which was recorded earlier today, where Pete talked to Lewis from the Shark Tank podcast.
Right, brilliant. Okay, it's great to talk to Lewis again from the Shark Tank. It seems an age since the last time we spoke, when just before your boys did a job on us at Ashton Gate. Seems a long time ago, and obviously since then you've really pushed on. So I'm really just interested to find out how you assess how Sale have got on since that time, and particularly how Alex Sanderson has changed the side a little bit and so on. So yeah, tell us what you think.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me back on the podcast. I thought there might be some bad blood after the game in January, so it's always nice to be here. I think you summed it up perfectly. When we spoke a couple of months ago, we talked a little bit about how Sale were having to reset their expectations because of Diamond leaving, Sanderson coming in mid-season, and the talk kind of went from pushing for the playoffs this season to finishing in the top six, and the playoffs would be a nice bonus. Now, in the last couple of months, we've really sort of kicked on with Sanderson and the team that Diamond had assembled. And obviously now we're in a quite a strong position. So, you know, I think this is a little bit like found money this season. Everyone was very keen to give Axe a fairly long leash. And we understood that he was going to take some time to mould the squad to his own way. And if that meant falling out of the playoff picture, we could forgive that for this season. But quite encouragingly, that's not happened at all. And we're still in the playoff hunt now. So I think if you wanted to kind of give it a rating or a score, you know, what has happened since Sanderson has come in has basically been best case scenario. We're a little bit off the pace from both yourselves and Exeter to an extent. But, you know, given the turnover, given the intriguing sort of circumstances in which he kind of joined the club, I think it's gone as well as it could have. And, you know, it set us up for a really good finish to the season.
I mean, I've watched a few of your games and you've had quite a few incredible results when you've been down to 14, 13 men and you've kind of seen it through. I mean, do you put that down to something in particular that's changed in the team at all?
No, I put it down to complete luck. And I think Sanderson would say the same thing, which is that we're playing with fire a little bit. The win at Bath a couple of weeks ago, you know, down to 13 men, and we were able to pull out the win. We did it against Wasps. We did it against Leicester. You know, it's very rare that you can spend any time down two men and you're able to pick up a win, especially away from home. So I think part of it is luck. I think part of it is the kind of consistency in the squad, which has been together a couple of years now. And even though we've got a new sort of head honcho, the core of the team stayed roughly the same. So there's a bit of familiarity with not just the players, but the defensive patterns as well. Mike Forshaw's been at the club 5-6 years, who's our defence coach. Paul Deacon has been at the club 6 years as our attack coach. So there's a lot of familiarity there. And I think that's played a big part of it. And obviously as well, there's been kind of incremental tweaks that we're seeing around the squad and around the game plan that Sanderson is bringing in. And you know, the changes in the coaching staff have kind of helped. But I think, you know, fundamentally, we're a team that's built around rock-solid defence. And that's always been our kind of MO for the last few years. I think we're playing with fire a bit. We're going down to 13 men so often, and discipline is a massive issue for us. That said, I think the kind of foundations in which you can kind of get away with playing two men down, I've kind of been there for a while now, and that's kind of how we've been able to weather it. And also the fact that, to be honest, you know, on the day last week, Bath weren't great. When we played Wasps and Rico, they weren't great. We shouldn't really have won those games, but it kind of came down to the other teams losing it rather than us winning it. But, you know, you have to make your own luck to an extent.
No, that's interesting. I mean, turning to the game, and it's next week, away trip to the AJ Bell. I mean, we're speaking on Sunday before that, so obviously we don't know what the teams are going to be. And, you know, there may be a debate for Bristol whether or not we actually do send up a really strong side or not. It's interesting, but putting that to one side, I mean, you know, obviously when you beat us before, it was incredibly clinical performance. It was virtually error free, and you took your chances. I mean, do you think that whatever team we send up, it will be a similar type of game plan that you'll try to execute?
I think so. Yeah, I think there are sort of parts of our squad where we're lacking in that kind of high-end talent, you know, kind of the inverse to Bristol. A lot of our skill comes through our sort of our forward pack predominantly first, and then, you know, the back line has a little bit less X factor, but that's fair enough compared to Bristol. You know, so I think, you know, regardless of kind of who we play, the way we play is quite similar. It's very forward orientated. It's very much about close control. We have two very ball dominant halfbacks in De Klerk and McGinty, who can kind of manage the game, and we've seen them kind of dovetail in different ways in terms of managing the team depending on who we're playing. But fundamentally, it's still very much forwards do most of the work, that the halfbacks kind of control most of the back play, and then we look to try and bring in our wingers or our centres or whomever kind of as and when we get the chance to, rather than as kind of the first port of call. So I think, you know, that'll be the bedrock. And I think in the same way, Bristol, regardless of who you kind of select to come and play Sale, the sort of Pat Lam, the coaching DNA, it's all kind of be the same. You're going to play in a very specific style that doesn't change if you know, Randrandru or Pietau or whoever isn't playing. So we've obviously got a game plan that works quite well against Bristol. We saw that at Ashton Gate. You know, if we're kind of thinking about this objectively, there's no reason to deviate that, considering it's worked well in the past. I do think what we saw last season when you came up to the AJ Bell, you played a quite a rotated squad. You know, missing quite a lot of those you know, kind of first choice players, and we hung 40 points on you. So I think if it's the same sort of squad that comes up again this week, I think Sale can probably be a little bit more kind of ball dominant, kind of control possession a little bit more, because in theory we'd have the talent to kind of overmatch Bristol. I think if Bristol send up their full strength team, it'll be very much like what we saw at Ashton Gate, which is, keep it very tight, keep it very kind of defensively sound. But I would also kind of say that that doesn't just apply to Bristol, that applies to basically every team that we play.
Well, I mean, it's kind of an odd question, but what do you think Bristol need to do to beat you, whatever team they send up?
It's all about the one-on-ones, I think. Where Sale succeed, I suppose, is we are able to dominate the gain line. We're able to make a lot of dominant carries, a lot of dominant collisions, and a lot of dominant tackles as well. We can, especially if you're playing through the middle of the field, we've got massive ball carriers and we've got massive lads who can, you know, throw a couple of hits in. So the way I've always thought this current version of Sale could be beaten is it comes down to one-on-one matchups, particularly in the back line. If you can manipulate the space, so you've got someone like Randrandra, for example, going up against Sam Hill in the 12-13 channel, Randrandra can run around him, or he might be able to run through him as well. That's how talented the player is. Same with the wings, you know, if you can get Morahan into a foot race against Simon Hammersley or Marlon Yard or Byron McGuigan, there's a good chance he's got the physical attributes to make a significant carry or a significant kind of incursion into our half. So if I was Bristol, my focus is trying to get away from where Sale excel, which is middle of the field, in tight, one out, two out ball carriers. It's about getting us playing in space or defending in space, because I don't think we have the natural kind of foot speed or natural kind of X factor to either defend against truly elite attacking players or in turn fully capitalise if counter-attacking opportunities come on, which is, again, where I think Bristol have been stung a little bit in the past. But fundamentally, you know, you can make those sort of mistakes against Sale because we don't necessarily have the foot speed to run the length of the field, the other way. So I think if I was Bristol, that's kind of what I'd be trying to prioritise, again, if you're putting out your first-choice team.
But taking all that to account, I mean, are you confident of the double? Doing the double on us?
I'd say partly confident. I think Sale are a tough beast at home to win. Not a lot of teams can do it. I think Bristol have the players, obviously, to break the game open. And I think if that happens, then it's going to be very difficult for Sale. But I think, you know, there's probably going to be some natural rotation that comes into the team. It's been the same way for everyone this year. And I think Sale match up reasonably well on the forwards, and we're playing at home. So I think if we are to win, it's going to be like it was at Ashton Gate, the sort of 16-12 sort of win. It's going to be very sort of narrow, and there's going to be a fair bit of sort of anti-rugby being played by design. But at the same time, I'm very wary of Bristol's ability to keep the ball alive, break the game open, lots of offloading, etc. And if that starts to happen, it's kind of what Bath did to us when they beat us at the AJ Bell a couple of months ago. When those gaps start to emerge, teams can take advantage of it. So if Bristol can do that, then they've got a good chance of winning. So I'd probably put it at sort of like 55-60-40 at this stage.
Is it the first one with fans back? Are there have tickets?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so because we've obviously had our celebration moment last Monday, which was crazy. I won't go into that. I mean, as long as Bristol don't drop the ball as many times as they did in that one or knock it on, I think we've got a chance. But do you think that will have a play a part? I mean, some of our players looked a little bit as if they were trying too hard with the fans back. And I just wonder, I don't know whether it will affect your boys or are they so focused that they'll just carry on doing what they do.
I don't think it'll have a negative impact. I think the actual impacts might not be as big as you'd maybe expect or even hope. But I think it does give the team a little bit of a lift. I know in the past, John O'Ross, who's the team's captain, and some of the other boys in the team have spoken about the fact that it does give them a lift and it does rouse them. And I think all teams probably benefit from having, some element of vocal support. I think we are projected to have a couple of thousand, 4,000 or 5,000, kind of spread out across the ground. So I think it will, and we play in quite a small stadium. It's only a 12,000 capacity, which I think helps as well because it turns it into a kind of a smaller echo chamber compared to somewhere like Ashton Gate, which is obviously a bit more a bit more cavernous. So I think it will have an impact, but it's kind of hard to say, you know, it's going to really lift them up, especially given how well we've been playing without fans as well. But I don't think it'll have a negative impact.
Anyway, look, that's really good. I really appreciate your insight as usual. Really good to speak to you. And well, let's look forward to next week's match. It's going to be a pretty solid affair, I imagine. So thanks very much.
Well, Pete, I thought that was really interesting. Good to hear from Lewis again. And I think he was a little unsure whether he was going to get the call, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was a little bit. I think after the last game, where they beat us fair and square, and we had no complaints about that at Ashton Gate. But I think he did say something, didn't he, that Sale dismantled Bristol. And I think we raised a Twitter eyebrow to that. So I think he was a bit worried that we might have taken umbrage. But of course, we didn't. We haven't at all. I mean, we love the banter. We think it's brilliant to have that sort of banter with the fans, particularly, you know, in this season when it's been the only way to interact. So yeah, he was really I think he was very pleased to be asked, actually. And I think a lot of he said it's a really nice idea to do this. And you know, as you can hear, I mean, he's very eloquent about Sale. He's very clear about what he thinks about them. So it was a really nice chat. Yeah,
and very very honest about their performances, really, saying that they have been lucky with lots of those situations where they've gone down by a player or two players, but still ground out a result.
Yeah, I mean, I think I asked him what he thought was behind those wins, and in my mind I was thinking luck, but he went and said it anyway. So I was, you know, I wasn't expecting anything but that. But but you make your own luck, don't you? And I think that was the point you made, and we all know that in having played and watched sport. If you keep going and you keep doing the right things, sometimes you get that luck. So, and I think Sale have definitely done that. It doesn't make them any less of a dangerous opponent, though.
No. Well, let's look ahead to that game. So the league table as it stands at the moment, Bristol played 19, 76 points, Exeter in second with 68 points, Sale in third with 64 points, and Harlequins in fourth with 61 points. So before we talk about maybe who we think Pat might pick, Miles, let me come to you. Just first off, do you think this is Pat's going to pick his strongest team for this game? I think on the podcast there, Lewis remembered that we sent a weakened team to the AJ Bell last year, and we're on the wrong side of 40 points up there. Do you see Pat sending a weakened squad and saving the players for the last two games of the seasons, or do you think Pat's going to go for this to try and get the job done to confirm that home semi-final?
I mean, I'm a bit apprehensive about this fixture, but I think Pat's going to send a pretty decent side. I don't really think it's, I don't know, now in his ethos to send weakened sides to play any game, to be honest with you, TC. And I think after the defeat against Sale at Ashton Gate, and obviously the drubbing against them last time we were there, could be a bit of a revenge match, to be honest with you. And it would be good to send, you know, some of our best players up there just to sound out where Sale are, should we meet them in the semi-final. So yeah, I'm of the opinion that I think it's going to send a very strong side, get the job done, and then, you know, we can then see where we are with Leicester and Irish in the two subsequent matches.
And Pete, your thoughts? And I suppose I was looking at Sale's fixture list. I mean, they've got a terrible run in, really. They've got to play us, who are top. They've got to play Quins, who are one place below them, and then they've got to play Exeter, one place above them. They've got a really tough run in, haven't they?
Yeah, really tough. But you know, away at Sale is still a tough fixture for us, isn't it? And I kind of agree with Miles. I think what Pat might do is rest a certain type of player or a certain number of players for this one, just because, you know, the risk of a Friday night in Manchester. And I'm kind of thinking of, you know, maybe the Charles Piatow, maybe even Stephen Luatua, just not take the risk on those. And, you know, maybe, you know, bring in a couple of people, you know, maybe Fitz Harding will come in again. But I just think that I think it will be a sort of hybrid squad that will be definitely looking for some sort of point, you know, some sort of return on the on their investment up there. But perhaps with one or two players rested with a view of keeping them fresh for the future.
Yeah, and Miles, if we win, that guarantees us a home semi-final. That's done and dusted then. And, you know, we should then still be, even if we don't get a five-point win, we'll be 7 points ahead of Exeter going into the final two games. So one more win, and that guarantees us finishing top spot. How important do you think it is psychologically for us to finish in top spot this year?
A good question. I mean, you know, we've been at top spot for sort of months now, haven't we? And I think psychologically, you know, to finish top would be absolutely fantastic. Is that sort of be all end all for Pat? Well, ultimately, no, because if we don't go then and win the final at Twickenham, it'll all be for nothing. But, it's a tough one, really. I mean, I think psychologically, if we can go and, you know, beat Sale, beat Leicester and beat London Irish and Exeter going to finish top, I think the players will have such confidence going to the semi-finals, it'll probably raise the spirits and hopefully get us over the edge of some tough games in the playoffs.
Okay, Pete, let me come to you then. You've already started to speculate a little bit on the team. Obviously, the last game against Gloucester, I think it was quite a surprise to most observers that Pat only made one change in that starting 15, which I can't remember any time this season that he's made so few changes. So let me... If you take maybe the forwards and Miles takes the backs, where do you see people coming in to the front eight then?
Well, I think the problem we've got with Sale is that they're obviously their one of their strengths is their pack. So I'm wondering whether that's the area we may have to keep pretty strong if we go up there. And you know, I kind of feel that I'd like to see Sinclair go up there. I think, you know, if he's going to be that big signing that we know he is and will be, that's the sort of game we really want him to perform as well. And I do sort of maybe feel that Sinks is one of these ones that needs to get a head of steam. He started this head of steam the other at Bath, and he's getting stronger. So I perhaps would definitely have him in the 23, if maybe not starting, I don't know. And then I think the hooker's going to be an interesting one because, again, I think last week we commented on the cut of Jake Kerr's jib, and that jib is getting bigger and billowing more and more. And I wonder whether he'll get another little run out just to give him another little test. But perhaps Byrne back in again on the bench because he hasn't played for a bit. It's a difficult one. And then, I mean, Joyce, he hasn't played for a while. He's not injured, is he? So, you know, you feel like he might need a run out because he played so well when he came on against Chiefs.
I think he did pick up an injury. I'm sure he was listed as injured.
Yeah, maybe he was. I should have looked that up. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. You see, it goes back to what I said about Steve, Big Steve. You know, is it worth risking him? But then again, every game's a risk, isn't it? And of course, we know he's so important. But I quite like the idea of. I mean, I think Nathan Hughes will go up there, won't he? I mean, Nathan needs games. Nathan likes a good punch up, obviously, within the limits. You know, I mean, a kind of, you know, handoff. I mean, so I'd expect to see, I suppose, that. And, of course, we haven't seen Dan Thomas for a while. And, you know, breaking up Sale's play so that we can get some broken play and exploit it is something that might be quite important. So I suspect that, I don't know, I mean, it's a difficult one because Thomas and Earl in the same back row, maybe not. Maybe Thomas on the bench. So yeah, I'm going to say Hughes. I'm going to take a flyer and say Steve might get a rest.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Get out of all that.
I can see Dan Thomas coming back in. He's had what 3 weeks now to have a nice break. I can definitely see him, if not starting, I think he'll absolutely be on the bench. I think Jake Kerr very much deserves another start at hooker. And I think it'll be interesting. Chris Vui looked like he had a little bit of a niggle when he came off. So if he's not 100%, then I don't think we'll see him start. So, Miles, let's have a look at the backs. We've already talked about Dan Thomas having the best part of 3 weeks without a game. Of course, Piers O'Connor has been in the same position as well. Do you think we'll be seeing Piers in the lineup?
Yeah, I think we do, to be honest with you, because we obviously saw Siale play last week and Piers had a few games off. I know he's played some of the sort of quiet weekend second string teams in the Championship, so we hear, but I think we need to get him back in the fray and face some strong teams, so it'd be good to bring him back. I mean, going from, I think our friend Andy Urin is really, that's a sort of given, really, isn't it? It would seem these days. Him and Kessel are the only two sort of fit scrum halves. So I think Andy will start and Kessel will be on the bench again. Start him. He's had a fantastic game last time, got man of the match. So I think we need a good side to go up to Sale. They've got some, nasty forwards and some fast backs as well. So I think Sheedy there, and other than that, really, I mean, I don't know where we are with Adeoluk and Nualago, to be honest with you, chaps. Again, I haven't really looked at the injured list today, but they've been absent for quite a while. But Sale and no walkover. So we need some strong units, really. So I think you're right, choosing Piers and Semi Randranja, and again, Malins has done really well on the wing, so. Unless sort of Purdy is back fit, but against a strong Sale side, maybe that's not the best match to bring him back. But Malins to do brilliantly, Morahan on the other wing, and I agree with Pete, is it a chance to sort of rest Charles's Achilles for a little match and bring in the likes of Johan Lloyd at 15? But that's a bit of guesswork, but that's probably who I'd choose, to be honest with you boys.
Yeah, I think there's a good shout that both of you make about Charles Piatow. We know he has been looked after this year as far as the number of games are concerned. And I actually think, he might be rested for this one. Possibly Max Malins dropping in at fullback. And Nualago wasn't far off being fit for the Gloucester game. And I just wonder whether Pat will want him to have a couple of competitive games before we head into the playoffs. And of course, Johan Lloyd, I think he'll be on the bench, but I'm sure we'll see him feature. So, I mean, it is going to be very interesting. I agree with you, boys. I think Pat will send pretty much a first team squad there, first choice squad, get the job done. If we can any kind of win against Sale, and that's it. It's a home semi-final guaranteed. I think the one concern for me really is John Afoa, because he really was limping as he went off the pitch, and who we might have that can step in at tight head, whether Jake Woolmore will come back in at loose head, and Jan possibly would be on the bench to come on for Sinclair. I think Max Lahiff's been injured, hasn't he? Little bit of a concern there if John Afoa doesn't make the trip. So okay, boys, let's come to predictions. And Pete, this week I'll give you the pleasure of giving a guess on behalf of Lee. I'm going to kick things off. I am going to go for a 21-20 Bristol win.
Interesting.
I don't think we're going to score 4 tries.
No. Do you want Lee's prediction?
Go on then.
It's going to be 3-3, and it's going to be a drop goal for each side.
Okay. I might put a pound on that, because I think you'd get fairly good odds on that.
Yeah.
Miles.
You get good odds on just seeing a drop goal attempt these days, but...
Okay, we'll let you consider yours. Miles, your prediction.
Okay, it's not going to be the sort of high-scoring game that I think we would love. So, I'm going to go for something quite close, a 17-14 win to Bristol.
Okay, and Pete, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be tight, definitely. I think we are going to just shade it, and I'm but it's going to be a dire game, so it's going to be dull. So I'm thinking it's going to be something like 13-7 to Bristol.
Wow, I don't think we've
pushed shading, actually, is it? That's more of a win. I'm going to go 10-7 to Bristol.
10-7. Do you know? I think that's the lowest kind of. Taking Leeds out of the equation,
that's
probably the lowest kind of aggregate score for Bristol that we've done in many a week. And
it makes no sense me say that at all, but I just think, you know, why not say something a little bit different? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we haven't got that long to wait. As I say, Friday, 28th of May, 7:45 PM, kickoff on BT Sport. Look forward to that. And Pete, one of the things that I don't know whether you talked about it before or after the recording with Lewis, but there's been speculation about Denny Solomona coming to Bristol. Sale Sharks winger. Was that a topic that came up, or what's your thoughts on that?
The short answer or the made-up answer?
I'll have the true answer.
The true answer was no. I completely forgot about that. It was on my list of questions as well. No, we didn't talk about it. So I can't really comment. All I would say is that from the vague small amount of comments I've seen from Bristol fans was that they didn't think it was a particularly good signing if it did happen. But I'm not sure I agree. There's something I quite like about Solomona, and you know, he's got that profile at the moment of a player that's got definite potential, but isn't kind of fulfilling it. And Pat's exactly the sort of man that seems to bring the best out of these sort of players. So, you know, he's a strong, powerful winger. You know, I can see reasons why we would like him, and you know, he's a Kiwi, basically, isn't he? So he's in the kind of fold. So I don't think it's as bad a shout as some people might have suggested.
Let me come to you then, Miles. Same question, Denny Solomona, 27 from Auckland, so obviously a connection there with Pat. Do you think it would be a good signing, and do you think wing is an area that we need to strengthen for next season?
Well, I think my slight just could repeat. I'm with some of the Bristol fans. I'm not very excited at all about the prospect of signing Denny Solomona. And he's been, you know, to say he's been quiet for sale is an understatement, really. I don't remember the last time I saw his name on a team sheet. So that's probably why I think most of us are a little bit sceptical about him. Yeah.
You're
probably going to say in the past he has had some really, you know, bursts of brilliantness, but yeah, that's in the past, and it's really difficult to recollect a recent game with him playing well, which is why I'm struggling to see him fitting in. But you know, you're absolutely right, Pat brings out the best in these players. We've got these players from rugby league before, And they've excelled. So yeah, why not? But in the wing, you know, I think we've sort of discussed it. I think we're all right in the wings. You know, we've got, if when Purdy's fit, we've got him. We've got Morahan, who are two fantastic players. We don't know about Maylins, whether he's staying. But we've got people who could drop into that position. And I'm not entirely sure filling it with another someone else like that is going to benefit Bristol.
Yeah.
Pete, you wanted to...
More of a utility. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I remember him playing outstandingly well for England against Argentina a few summers ago in one of those summer tours. And he did come with a big rep, and he's still 27, he's still young. But I think actually, on reflection now, if he was more of a utility back, then maybe, you know, to perhaps cover for someone like Malin's leaving. But I don't believe he'd be anything but a winger. Would he? He's not got any fullback credentials or whatnot. So perhaps, yeah, perhaps you're. It's definitely worth speculating on, as we have done.
Yeah, I think he's had a few off-field problems as well, hasn't he? That I've read about, and whether he is one of these people, and you often see it in sport, don't you? That just get stale in a kind of plateau at a club, and you give them a fresh start somewhere. And obviously Pat Lam is someone that you would imagine would be able to help someone not only on the pitch but off the pitch to sort themselves out. So we will watch that with interest. You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Buzzsprout and many more platforms. You can contact us with your comments and ideas by email at bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're Bears Beyond the Gate, and on Facebook, you can like and follow our Bears Beyond the Gate page. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about tonight on this show was the fact that I think it was 2, maybe 3 weeks ago that European Rugby announced that for next season, 8 teams would qualify from the Premiership for the Champions Cup. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Is this a good thing to have more teams playing in the top competition, or maybe does it take a little bit of the shine off the competition? Let me come to you first, Miles. Your thoughts on that.
I think the latter, to be honest with you, TC. I think you know, it's been a funny season. Obviously, we know that there's no relegation and there's been very little to sort of play for the sort of bottom teams. But that hasn't taken away from the fact that there have been some great matches. But, you know, I think it degrades the sort of eliteness of the top six a little bit. We are used to playing some fantastic French sides, some Irish sides, etc. And, you know, used to feel like there was a real scrap, really. You were either going to get potentially relegated from the Premiership, and there was a great scrap at the bottom, or the last game of the season, at the Super Saturday, really meant something for those who were in positions 7 and 8, who could creep up to 6. Now, I think that's, you're slightly taking away from that, I agree, really. And I don't know where it's going to sort of end up with top eight. I think, you know, my opinion is, it's going to sort of degrade the sort of top echelon of European rugby slightly.
And Pete, your thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, I agree. I think as soon as you make something like that bigger, you're devaluing the potential competitiveness of it. So I agree with Miles. I think it would have, you know, it keeps people a bit fresher to have that to play for. And of course, it may end up leading to some, you know, some not very good matches, to maybe some mismatches in the early rounds. And but then again, one good thing, if we could have 8 of us go, there's a good chance that at least one of us might win it and not let the French win it again. So I mean, let's look at the odds. That's not a bad thing, because we don't want. I mean, I've got to say, I know it's a bit slightly off tangent. I don't know if you watched that European final, but it's pretty dull. I mean, everyone's going on about how good the French sides were, and they were pretty. I was disappointed. I thought it'd be much better to have some sort of chirpy English or Welsh or Irish team in there, kind of trying to give it a go. So I think actually, let's say for a season, get 8, it gives us a better chance of getting to the latter stages and usurping the French dominance.
Well, one thing that will be interesting will be to see the format, because they haven't really talked about that. Whether they're going to still keep the pools of 4 and then English teams often play another English team. The one thing that I did really like about this season was the fact that it was that pool of 3 and you played 2 teams from you know, a competition that wasn't your own, one of your own domestic opponents. Having said that, I can't see from a TV and money perspective they would want to, you know, teams would only have 4 guaranteed games instead of 6. But I do hope, the one thing I really didn't like was that complicated 2-table system then, that it kind of, you could finish top of your little group but still not qualify because you were in a one of two big tables, I think they made it really complicated. And I hope for the sake of the fans that we have something a lot simpler. But I agree with you, boys. I think the fact that the you can get a team that is eighth qualifying for the Champions Cup, who might have had a losing season in the Premiership, you know, lost more than they've won, but somehow end up in the elite competition, I think is quite sad. And then for the Challenge Cup as well, because I wonder if teams are going to get parachuted in there after the group stage. Yes, we shall wait with interest to...
Got any teams in mind nearby that might qualify for the losing season?
Well, there we are. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting. I mean, the great thing is, though, the fact that we sewed up qualification for the Champions Cup when we thought it was only going to be the top six teams, to have Champions Cup rugby. I will be keeping everything crossed when it comes to the draw, that actually for us Bears Beyond the Gate boys and all Bristol fans, we get two or three really top-notch teams and some great away trips next season.
What do you... let's say COVID's gone, we're all back to normal. What do you reckon? What would be your ideal, Tone or Miles? What would be your ideal to get us back into the spirit of away games in Europe? What do you reckon?
I would say for me, we're going to do, there's three opponents then in the pool. Are we saying that? Okay. Yeah. I would say that I would fancy either Leinster or Ulster for an away game in Ireland. I would then, I think it's got to be a French team, really. But one that's easier to get to than some of our previous opponents. I wouldn't mind going to Stade again, Stade Francais.
I think Paris,
that would be nice. And who would I go for the third one? Do you know what? Cheeky trip to Edinburgh?
Oh, fancy that. That's what I've written down, TC. I thought, let's go to three continents, maybe. Little cheeky trip to Stade Francais.
Three continents, Miles. It's the European...
we could go to Africa as well.
Well, hang on. Technically, Miles, if you're going to go to Belfast rather than Dublin, you're only going to be going to two countries.
Two different reasons, I sort of agree, really. I think... bust over to Stade Francais, little fly over to Ulster and a little train to Edinburgh would be an absolute bonus, wouldn't it? The sort of three away trips are fairly easy to get to and, a good sort of good introduction to international travel.
What about you?
COVID permitting.
Yeah, what about you then, Pete?
Well, I agree with the Irish tip, but I feel like we've got unfinished away business with Connacht. It would be really great if we could get a chance to go there, not just because that we might win, but also because we made some good friends with the old Craggy Rugby boys, and it just I just got this idea of somewhere I've never been to, Galway, I just feel it would be if it was somehow possible again, it would be a great little trip to go. So that, but then failing that, I think I'd go for Ulster actually. Having been to Belfast before, it'd be I enjoyed myself there. And then French, I think I'm with you on Paris, just for ease of the easiest, probably easy to get to. Toulouse, I've been there before actually. That is a fantastic place, but maybe not that early. And I'm just trying to think Scotland. I'm trying to think something different from you boys, but no, I can't think. I can't think of anyone else. I think I quite like it. I think Edinburgh, you're right. I think why not? Because there's some good players up there, it'd be a nice thing to do. So my only difference really is the Irish one.
Yeah, I think the other thing I've been intrigued and I'd love to see it is Racing's stadium, Racing 92, that indoor stadium with the giant TV behind one of the posts. I'd really like to see that. But I think you've got to say that, if we come top of the league, get to the Premiership final, either win it or come second, we're unlikely with a seeding competition to be up against Leinster or Racing, I would have thought. Paris, Stade Francais would be one. I think Connaught definitely would probably be one as well. So
it might be Newport.
Yeah.
But at least it wouldn't take long to get home, would it?
Well, do you remember that first season back up when we were looking forward to European rugby? And what did we get? We got Cardiff, Bath.
Yeah.
And was it Poe?
Poe or someone, yeah.
Yeah, which...
It's very difficult to get to.
Really difficult to get to. So let's hope we don't have that. But it's going to be super exciting. And you know, hopefully by the time we get to the late autumn, early winter, then you know, travel will be back on again, and hopefully we'll be seeing full crowds in stadiums. Well, boys, that's it for tonight. A bit of a shorter one. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about after the Sale game next weekend, though. If you like what you've heard, please do subscribe and leave a review or rating for us on your favourite podcast platform. We'll be back next week with our review of the game at the AJ Bell Stadium against Sale. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and come on, Briz.